Hi, my name is Rachel Aquaviva, and this is my study abroad story. This story comes from my sophomore year J term when I went abroad to Barbados on a winter term trip. I'm here with another member of our class. You want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm James Schaefer, and I'll be helping her tell the story.
Awesome. Okay, so when we went abroad to Barbados, we had, instead of class days, we had what were called challenges. And the challenges were basically an itinerary of places we needed to go and things we needed to do. And this was our third challenge, and they had gone relatively smoothly before because they were pretty close to us. Most of them were in more walking distance. But this third challenge was a place that was across the island. It was pretty far away, and it was to go to this place called Hunter's Garden, which is a garden owned by this man, but it was kind of in the middle of nowhere, not near where we were staying. So the only way we could get there was using public transportation. So to plan this trip, we looked up the bus schedule, and we found out that we go to the main bus terminal in town. There are all these different number of buses with different routes, and this one was supposed to go where we wanted to go, and it was supposed to come every hour on the half hour. So we got there in time, and we were waiting in line for a while, trying to sort of like figure out if we were in the right one. It was really unclear. Nothing was marked very well. It wasn't like the subway in the U.S. where everything is like super clear where it stops. Like, there aren't even names for stops. They're just names for like the bus. So we were waiting in this line. We were kind of talking to the locals around us, and we were in line to the Sugar Hill bus, which is where we thought we were supposed to go, but we were talking to the locals, and we met this older man who was super eager to, like, help us out and chat with us, and we realized we weren't in the right line at all, so we had to, like, get out of this queue with, like, all these locals lined up and find the right bus, and we eventually talked to the bus driver on a bus and figured out which one we needed to be on, and so we finally found the right line, and we were waiting there forever. Like, the bus did not come at, I think we were there at 10:30, didn't come at 10:30, didn't come at 11:30, so we've been waiting at this bus station for hours now, and we're super confused as to why no bus has shown up, and we were talking to the locals, and one of the guys basically said the bus drivers run things, that they kind of just show up whenever they want, like the bus drivers run it, not the management, and we're like, that's kind of crazy, because how do they keep their jobs if they just don't show up? But it's just kind of something people seem to have accepted. They're definitely a little frustrated with it, but they're used to it. So, yeah, we go to this. We finally get on the bus and get to this garden. And then after, we ask the man working at the garden, like, okay, where is this next bus stop that we need to take to get back to our hotel? And he gives us some directions, like, okay, just, like, walk down the drive, like, then take a left, and then a while, take a right. Like, super simple, but, like, kind of not very easy to follow when you're actually doing it.
And at that point, were you expecting a similar situation to occur?
Yeah.
Did you expect the bus to be?
I was kind of dreading it. I knew that these buses were not reliable, so I was kind of nervous. Like, he was like, oh, it's so easy. Like, just walk down. Like, you know, he was super, like, straightforward. But then when we started walking, we're like, what? Like, we're in the middle of the forest, it feels like. There are no houses, like, nothing on the roads. These roads are empty. And so we're walking around, like, on down this road, like, okay, is there even going to be a bus stop? And we find this little bus stop sign. And they're literally just, like, a post with a bus stop sign. And we're like, I guess this is it? Like, you don't really know. None of them have names or anything. So we're sitting, we're standing on the side of this road, like, in the grass, and then we're there forever. We're sitting down, basically, just waiting to see if a bus ever comes. We don't know what time or anything. And so we're getting super frustrated. No cars are even passing to, like, ask anyone for help. We're in the middle of nowhere, basically. We don't have, like, phone service because no one had a phone plan, an international one, and I don't even know if there was, like, cell towers around, and we have limited money, so it's not like we could just, like, get a cab, and even if you do, like, you have to go to a place where you can get a cab.
Yeah.
And they're, like, $100 back to the hotel, and we're not really supposed to use cabs unless of emergency, because that's, like, part of the challenge. So we're getting super frustrated, and we decide we're going to walk down the road a little more and just, like, see if we can find anything else or someone to ask. And so we finally come across more of a residential neighborhood, and there's a woman with, like, kind of, like, empty grocery bags, or, like, looks like she's trying to go to the store. walking down the street, and we approach her, and we're like, hi, like, we've been looking for this bus. We're trying to get back to near Bridgetown, which is, like, the kind of, like, city area, and we don't know where this bus is. And basically, she just kind of, like, mumbles something and, like, kind of, like, starts walking away and kind of motions to follow her, and we're all like, does that mean, like, you're going to help us? And which was so weird, because that's not how we give directions, like, in the U.S.
And do you think that the lady really wanted to help you, or do you think that was just sort of how they are in Barbados?
I honestly still to this day couldn't really figure out, because to me it came off super unfriendly, but in reality she did end up leading us to the bus stop, and I think she was just kind of like, oh, these tourists. Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't think she, I think she wanted to help, but I think to her it was kind of just like part of her routine day, that to her it was kind of like strange to see us like out there like. And then, because I don't think most people do that. I think most people rent a car if they're going to Barbados to visit.
In general, how do the locals view tourists in Barbados? Positively, negatively?
It was definitely a mix. A lot of them were super friendly. Like, the old man in line was so excited to help us and, like, give us directions and stuff. But a lot of them did come off very standoffish. And I think that is because when you live in an area like that, there's a very mix of social class, because the locals are, you know, that's their home and they're all working on their home, but then there's the tourism industry where really wealthy people come to stay on these huge resorts on this island where there is a lot of poverty. So I do think that a lot of the locals resent some of the tourists just because they view Americans a lot as like, oh, they think they're like better than us. But then again, I think a lot of them were brought up taught like, well, this island runs on tourism. That's how we make money. You know, that's the industry. You can't really like be mean or hate them because they're putting money into the economy here.
And it's kind of that uncomfortable disparity where all the money comes from tourism,
right.
But it's still uncomfortable to know that they're living in squalor.
Right. Exactly.
Opposed to these people just coming in at these resorts.
Exactly.
So you can see how that would create some resentment.
Yeah. And I remember one of our professors even told us like there's a lot of history on the island and everything. There are people that are Bajan, which is like the name for like someone who is from Barbados, the culture. And she says, some people call them natives, which you're not supposed to, you'd have to call them locals because natives kind of has negative connotations or whatever. So that was one thing we really tried to be respectful of their culture and not like, you know, not come in with the idea that they're there just to like make our vacation pretty and like easy.
So once the lady brought you to the bus station, then what happened?
Yeah, so we get to the bus station, we still don't really know if we're in the right place at all or where she's going, you know. She kind of just like takes off and like waits for it in her own space, and we're just like, okay, like, thank you, I think this is where we need to be. And again, we wait there for a long time, like what I want to say like at least 45 minutes to like an hour and a half. And we were just like, at this point, exhausted. We've been out in the sun. It's hot. It's Barbados. So it's like 85 degrees. We're all like not used to the sun. So it's really hot. There's no shade because you're on the middle of like an empty street. There's nothing like nothing to like hide under. We're like sunburned at this point. Like, just wanting to go home. We don't really have like food and water on us. And just, you know, wondering if we're going to get a bus. And so I look at her. And I was asking her questions. I was like, so when does the bus, like, usually come? Like, it says on the schedule it's supposed to come at 2:30 or whatever every hour. And she literally just looks at me and she goes, sometimes we get a bus, sometimes we don't. And I was blown away. I was like, how is that possible? How do you get anything done where your public transportation system shows up when it decides to or doesn't show up? And I was like, she's going to get groceries or something, it looks like. It's like, what if the bus doesn't come? Like, she doesn't get to go to the grocery store? Like, how does she get there? Hitch a ride? I don't know. But to me, that was just such a crazy sentiment that she was just so comfortable saying. And, you know, you could tell she was annoyed. She was kind of like, you know, like, sometimes we get a bus, sometimes we don't. But it was kind of, like, crazy to me how that could even, like, be the case and how they could kind of just, like, live their lives with a system like that that was so unreliable.
So overall, throughout this bus specific experience mm-hmm. and just the transportation experience in general in Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
What did this teach you, really? What did you learn from this experience?
You know, during it, I was really frustrated. And when we finally did get a bus and get back to the hotel, I was super, like, I was almost, like, discouraged, you know? Like, I thought I was going to this place, like, and I had all these expectations, and I knew it was going to be different, but I was really frustrated that it was so inconvenient. And I remember just being in a really bad mood that night, being like, this is ridiculous. Like, why do we have to, like, use a system that is so unreliable? It's taking us, like, hours and hours to get to a place that shouldn't take this long. And so, obviously, at first, I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, this is not effective at all. But then when I started realizing things like how Barbados really does run on like what people call island time, like even in restaurants, like where they don't bring you like the check, you have to ask for the check, stuff like that. Everything is a lot more slow and relaxed. And as much as that was frustrating with the buses, I do think that there are benefits to slowing down and having a culture that isn't super high strung and uptight about like everything running on such tight schedule, because I think in our society everything is super rushed and everything is super like go go go, like never stop. And so I thought I learned to kind of like slow down and just accept like it will work out, and this is definitely an extreme case of that, but like you just have to be patient and flexible, and not everything is going to run on a perfect schedule, and that's okay. And it's, you can actually benefit from taking time to just wait or do nothing. And that's something I don't think I do in my everyday life here. I don't really have downtime where I'm just like doing nothing or waiting. Like if I had to wait for something for hours here, I don't think I would do it. So I think that's a good skill to have, just patience in general.